start in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11 here, the first scripture, and go there, then go to prayer. It says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and sea and all in them that is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh Sabbath day and hallowed it." And so when we start out here tonight on this message, one subtitle I guess you could talk about is the Creator. He is the one that created all things. And I like the way the Bible starts out there in Genesis, first five words. And it says, "In the beginning, God created." And he made it all. There's some people that believe in the Big Bang Theory and different theories about how it all started and got going. But I believe the true Word of God, the inspired Word, and it's accurate and infallible. And God says He created it all. Nothing was created without Him. There's none that can compare to our Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord God, that You are our God, Lord, that You allowed us to be in Your family, Lord, and let us be a part of Your kingdom, God. And we thank You, God, for the place You prepared for us, Lord. You're going to soon take us home. And we thank You for Your presence here now, Lord, and Your love for us, God, and all the times You've rescued us, Lord, and God, just made a way when there seemed to be no way, Lord. We just love You with all our heart, and thank You for all You do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated. And Brother Jason was talking about fake news. Last message he preached, I really enjoyed the message. It was good on target also, but I wanted to share a little of the good news tonight, the true news. God talking about our Lord and just lifting Him up. And as said earlier, if He be lifted up, He'd draw all men unto Him. And that's just what I want to do, just lift Him up that others would know Him and come to desire to be His child and be a part of His family. And He's made it where all of us can come in. He doesn't want to leave any of us out, anyone that wants. You know, they said, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. And that song service singing tonight is just part of my prayer through the day, Lord. I want to be more like You. I want to be holy, and I want to have a pure heart and be acceptable in Your sight and go to be with You. And in Psalms 33 and 6, and it's been a while since I preached. Going to be a little nervous. Back when I was in high school, played football, and before each football game, I got butterflies, you know, just got nervous and all antsy inside, didn't know, turning flip-flops. You know, when I took a welding test somewhere, I was always nervous. And eyes are on you, you know, you get all antsy and excited. But just pray the Lord help me here tonight. But Psalms 33 and 6 says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth." So He just spoke, and it just came into being. And, you know, He didn't have to take a whole lot of time planning out and working on it, you know, and maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. You know, sometimes at work, I work on different projects, might be welding a flange on a header, and might be welding a long seam, whatever, end block, and it may UT or X-ray. Every once in a while, you have a bad one. You have to go back and cut it out and try again. But with God, it isn't that way. He gets it right the first time and every time. He always knows what He's doing. In Psalms 33 and 8, it says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." So there's power in His Word, not just the written Word we have here. It is living. It is eternal. It's never going to pass away. But there, anything He speaks is His Word also. You know, when He talks to us, just recently, you know, the Lord told us through tongues interpretation that not to be excited, not to be stressed, more or less, about what you see. He's still in control. When things seem to not go our way in this election and the way we wanted it to, and God knows all about it. He's got a plan, and He's going to work it out His way. And I don't know all the road we're going to travel, but God knows already. He knows the future as well as the past and the present. But He's in control, and He can take care of us. In Isaiah 40 and 28 says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding." And when He created the earth in six days, and He rested the seventh day, it wasn't because He was weary. He wanted to set a precedent, I believe, for us, you know, that we need that day of rest. And says he's never faint, and He's never weary. He doesn't get tired like we do. And Isaiah 45 and 12 says, "I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all the hosts have I commanded." And I've heard different people talk about space, you know, out there, the planets and the stars and things, and they say that space is still extending. It's still expanding, going out. And it says here, He stretched out the heavens. And no telling how long it's going to keep growing. I don't believe we'll ever understand just how big it is out there. You know, it's so vast. It takes light years to travel from one planet to another sometimes, or stars and things even in our solar system. And there's more solar systems out there. It's just huge. And we'll never, even here on Earth, you know, we'll never understand all of what God has created. You know, we're all the time learning more about the creatures He's got here and how they go about their lives. But God is a big God. He's amazing. In John 1 and 3 says, "All things were made by Him, and without Him it was not anything made that was made." So He didn't have any competition. There wasn't anyone out there competing with Him, trying to make things before He came along, or trying to do it better than He did. We can look at Lucifer. He got the bright idea he was going to be above God, you know, and set himself up, and it got him in the naughty list with the Lord, and it's going to not end up good for him. And back in the 60s, the Russians and the Americans, they were in a space race trying to get to the moon first, and, you know, trying to different things they wanted to accomplish that had never been done before. And it was good to strive and push yourself harder and expand and learn. But God, like I said, He has no competition. There's none that can compare to our Lord. In Psalms 147 and 4, it says, "He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names." And I remember Brother Pepper going to the outreach up there in Veneta back years ago, and I remember him sharing this verse, and he said back then, the scientist said there were 76 trillion stars out there. And it says He knows them all by their name. And Pastor's just talking about, you know, how many He's got in His congregation, and a lot going on, a lot to remember and take care of. And God is as vast as He is. All the people throughout time, you know, they've lived through the centuries, over the thousands of years. He knew every detail about every one of them. He knew when they were going to be born and how long they were going to live and what their occupation was going to be. And, you know, all the things, all the minute details, He knew what they were thinking. And they didn't do a thing that He didn't see it and take a note of it. He's keeping a record. And He's that big, and yet He's still concerned about each one of His children. In Psalms 147 and 3, it says, "He healeth the broken heart and bindeth up their wounds." And Psalms 146 and 5 says, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob as his helper, whose hope is in the Lord his God." And it's a personal thing. He's our God, and each of us, you know, just like we were His only child, He loves us that much. But yet, He doesn't play favorites. He's going to judge us all the same, and He's going to reward us according to how we keep His word or do not keep it, and, you know, how our faithfulness is to Him. But He is a good God, and He's just that big. He can keep track of all the details, and I'm thankful that we have him as our hope. We don't have to worry about one getting, I got involved in the election this year, kind of stressed out more than anything, thinking about how everything was going. And I just finally, threw up my hands. I'm through with it, Lord, just take it. Do what you want. And, I'm just your child. Have your way, Lord, whatever comes our way. You're still going to be our God and our Lord. And Isaiah 40:12 says, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and met out the heaven with a span? He comprehendeth the dust of the earth in a measure. He weigheth the mountains in scales in his hills, and the hills in a balance." So can you imagine all the water out there, the seas and the oceans, the rivers? And he says he measures the water in the hollow of his hand. So that takes a big God to do that. And it says he met out the heavens with a span. He knew exactly how far apart each and everything was, and he put it in its orbit, and it continues according to his plans. And he says it comprehended the dust in the earth in a measure. And you can look out, and I've talked about this before, it seems like everywhere you look there's construction, there are bulldozers pushing dirt here, loading it in a dump truck, hauling it there, and everything, it's always moving, and the wind blowing it, and erosion and things, and getting pushed down the creeks, and everything, but yet God knows just exactly how much is out there in the measure of it all. And Luke 12:7, "Even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are more valued than many sparrows." And thinking about all those things I've talked about already, how big God is, and that would keep anyone very busy except for our Lord. It's nothing for him. But, I have a lot less hair than I started out with years ago, and it'll be a constant job just keep track, which one fell out here and which one's gone there. And you can imagine all the people on the earth, and he keeps track of all that amongst all the other things. It's just amazing how big God is. And it says he is omnipotent, he's all-powerful. Yet he limits himself in his power. I believe he is going to keep depending on his people to pray and do the work that he sent them out to do. And he's got a work for each of us. And if we'll be obedient, and he can use us, and he will. And if we refuse, he'll find someone else. But his work's going to be done. In Luke 1:37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." So he could do whatever he chooses to do. There's nothing impossible for him. In Psalms 135, verse 5 and 6, "For I know that the Lord is great, and that our God, our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that he did in heaven and the earth and the sea and all the deep places." So whatever he chose to do, that's what got done. There wasn't anyone he had to answer to and ask for permission. He didn't have to get a permit. He didn't ask go through some committee and take a vote on it. But it's just whatever he chose, that's the way it's going to be. And he's omniscient, means all-knowing. It says in Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." So it says, getting ahead of myself here, but he is a high priest. He's our high priest, but yet he was tempted in every point as we are, and yet without sin. He never failed. Because of that, he can take care of our sins. He was willing to pay the penalty for our sins, which we know was death. Wage of sin is death. But he says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I'm thankful that his word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the son of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And many times the preacher will be up preaching and he's got your number. He knows it's just coming to you, and it's the Holy Spirit working through him, you know. And I've been in services before. Seemed like the whole message is aimed at me, you know. And everyone else there, you wonder if they're getting anything. But I know it was coming towards me. But that's just the way God's word is. And it can be that way for each and every one of us. It can accomplish different things for each one. God deals with each of us individually. In Isaiah 44 and 24, I had time. I wrote out most of these scriptures, a few of them I look up. But for thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. So he formed us, even in the womb, he knew us. And says, I am the Lord that maketh all things. Like I said, there's nothing made that he didn't have a hand in it. It was his doing. He didn't have to have any help or any committee to come along and work and help him out. And verse 5 there in the same chapter says, I am the Lord, there's none else. There's no God besides me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I formed the light, I created darkness. I make peace and created evil. I, the Lord, do all things, all these things. So even evil was created by him. He has a purpose for it. And he didn't want us to be like robots and just have no will. He created us with a will to either accept him or reject him, obey him and accept him as our Lord, or do our own thing. And even though salvation is free, it's available to all, yet not all will receive it. And there's many going to reject him. But he's given us all equal opportunity to come to him. In Isaiah 45 and 12 says, I've made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all the hosts have I commanded. In 18 it says, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. So he made a place. He wanted all the animals and the people to live on it, and he set it up where he would provide for each one and meet all the needs, and he knows exactly what he's doing. And you think about the clouds carrying the water, and I think water was like 8-point-something pounds per gallon, and you got a big old cloud dumping thousands of gallons out there, and it just amazed me how all that can float around in the air, and he can just dump a little bit here, a little there, just the right amount. He doesn't just drop it all at once. It just smashes. But, you know, he knows exactly how to get it done and provide for the grass so it grow for the animals, and he's a provider. It says, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And truly, he is where we need to go for our help. And there's none like him. And we look at him as our Redeemer. And it says in Matthew 1:21, we just celebrate the birth of Christ coming to earth and being raised up like a man here on earth, and then and taking on the ministry he had for 33 years, and he went back to the Father. But yet it says in Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And thank the Lord, that God, that he sent his son to be our Savior. We all needed one. And pastors mentioned before, we're not born a Christian, we're born a sinner. Until we come to know Christ, accept him in our heart, then we're all still sinners. Even from a little child up, we still haven't been regenerated. I know until the age of accountability, they will go on to heaven if they pass from this life. But there comes a time when we have to make a decision for the Lord or against him. In Romans 3:23, I've already mentioned, I got ahead of myself, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of that, Christ knew we needed a Savior even before the foundation of the world. He had a plan. It says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What better gift could any of us receive than that? You know, it's the best gift, the most needed by each and every one of us in this world. In Acts 4:12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. And he's the only one we can obtain salvation through. He is that door. In John 10:9 says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. In 1 Timothy 2:4, it says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? And there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And once again, getting back to his providential care, he, like I said, he provides the rain and the grass for the animals and for us, and even food for us, what we need, whether it be from vegetation or the animals. But it says, Matthew 6:31, and 32, it says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For all these things that the Gentiles seek for, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So I'm thankful that he knows our need, even before it comes up. You know, he's already got it provided there for us. And one day he's going to be our judge. And Romans 2:16 says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. And it's going to be according to the word we got provided to us, free for us to read at leisure or whenever we want to take a time to do it, set it aside. And I read through the Bible last year completely and started over again. I already completed Genesis and part of Matthew and going through it again. And I just still get excited about reading the Word of God and talking about how Moses was bringing out the people there in Exodus. You know, how the Lord was working the miracles and things. And even back there in Joseph, even... You know, the Lord provided for him years before he was in the position there in Egypt. The Lord had a plan for his life, and his brother sold him into slavery, and he was misjudged by many, put in prison, and false accusations made about him. But it was all part of God's plan. So when he was there in Egypt and he was promoted into a place of leadership, he provided. The Lord gave him a dream, told him about the famine coming, and he started putting corn back, and people come from all around looking for food and sold it to him, and they were run out of money. They were selling their land and things, but he was the one in charge there, and his brothers later came to him, didn't realize who he was, didn't recognize him, but he recognized them, and they find out that he knew them later, and they were fearful, thought he would get even with them, you know, for what they'd done to him earlier. But he wasn't that way. He said it was God's plan that brought him there to preserve them and bring them through. God has got an amazing how he works it all out. You know, some things seem like they're going the opposite direction we'd like, you know, and how, you know, why would the Lord let this happen, you know, but we don't know the full picture, you know, how it's all going to work out, but he's got a reason for everything that happens. But we just need to let him take control, just learn to follow, and let him lead. Ecclesiastes 3:17 says, I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose, for every work. And 1 Corinthians 4 and 2. First Corinthians 4 and 2 through 5 says, moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, will make manifest the counsel of the hearts. Then shall every man have praise of God. And he's keeping a record. Like I said, there's books in heaven. There's a book of life. If your name goes in it when you get born again. It can also be removed if you turn away from the Lord, and it can be blotted out. But he's keeping a book of remembrance, a book of our works, and we'll be rewarded according to every work, whether it be good or bad, and our faithfulness or lack of it, or, you know, our love for him, all these things, God's keeping a record. And there's a can of worms been opened here in the last year or so about Indian land and people not being able to, they had to go back and retry some people because of the crimes they had committed, and they were on Indian land at that time, and so it just opened up a big can of worms, and it had to go back and retry people and things. But when God judges us, we're not going to be, he's not going to be out of our jurisdiction or whatever. I mean, he covers it all. He's going to judge us with equity. In Psalms 98:9, it says, before the Lord he cometh to judge the earth with righteousness, shall he judge the world and the people with equity. That means fairness or accurate. There's not going to be any misunderstandings. We're not going to have to go to a higher court, have it retried and all these things. He knows every detail about every one of us. And he sees it all, like I said. And he's going to judge us. He's not going to be misunderstanding the situation. He knows the beginning from the end, exactly what took place. His kingdom is eternal. None can compare to him in that sense. In Revelations 22:13 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Revelations 19:16, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Exodus 15:11 talks about his holiness. I appreciate the song tonight, Sarah, about the holiness, and that's just one of the other categories. You know, we could go on all night long about the different things about the Lord, you know, how there's no comparing him to others. But Exodus 15:11 says, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders? And Psalms 99:9 says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. The Lord expects us to be holy also. It says in Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So we have to get there. We're not going to do it on our own. It's going to have to be him working in us. You know, he does the work in us as we submit to him and let him work on us. But he rewards us even after he's done most of the work. In Deuteronomy 33:27, He is eternal. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. So the enemies of God, they don't stand a chance. And there's no the way they're going to be victorious over him. He's Lord of lords and King of kings and all powerful. And Psalms 145 and 13 says, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. And I'm thankful, you know, we can look back at our life, back when we were earlier, how things changed, you know, the people's dress and the vehicles they drove and things like that. And, you know, it's kind of comical when you look back at some things and, you know, how time changes and, but one thing that's never going to change is God, is he's going to be around forever. It says from generation to generation. In Psalms 105 and 8, he hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. So he's going to be faithful. He is going to keep his word. He's going to keep his end of the bargain. We keep ours, he is going to reward us. And in Psalms 89 and 6, for who is in the heaven can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? And the answer to that is none. You know, there's none like him. There's no comparison. And he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. In John 1, 1 John 2 and 25 says, this is the promise that he hath promised unto us, even eternal life. And if we gain the whole world and lose our soul, what have we gained? You know, there's nothing as important to having as important as having eternal life. And he's provided that in paradise, in the presence of God, you know, in a place where we'll never know any more pain or sorrow or, you know, any worry and stress. It's just going to be a utopia, a place that we'll never find like that on earth. Until the Lord sets his kingdom up here, and he says, then the lion will lay down by the lamb and things like that. You know, it's going to be a time of peace during that 1,000-year reign. But right now, you know, you wonder, it's free and it's such a good deal. Why would anyone turn it away? You know, anyone in the right mind wouldn't. But yet our minds are blinded, it says, by Satan in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. Says the God of this world, talking about Satan, he is temporarily having his way here. The Lord's allowed it. Says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And if they really knew all the ins and outs about it, they would in an instant turn to him, you know. And right now, a lot of people are being deceived by the world. They think they're having a good time and they got a great thing going, you know, but truly inside they're just miserable. And you know, needing God, their void is not filled unless he comes in. And pastor's preaching this morning, when believers believe, and we aren't a believer till we do believe. We call on him and ask him to be our Savior, and that's when it all changes. And we can look back in an instant there in Luke 23:42. Talked about the two thieves on the cross beside Jesus. They were being crucified. And says, he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said to him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And just in an instant, just that simple little prayer, it didn't have to be real elaborate or eloquent words. You know, he was just calling out on the Lord and asking to forgive him. And the Lord said, you've got it. You know, you, just here in a little while, you're going to be with me in paradise. And one moment he was headed for hell for eternity. Next moment, he made a U-turn. He was headed for heaven. And it's just that simple and quick. Just a matter of humbling the heart and believing, calling on God. And he could change it all. And said he made it so simple that even a fool need not err therein. So God He is a God of compassion, none like Him. He is King of kings, Lord of lords, going to be victorious over all. And it's just a matter of time running its course, and He's going to work it all out. We can look at the back of the book and know how it's going to end. But I'm thankful I'm on the winning team. I'm just thankful for the God that I serve and that He called me and allowed me to be a part of His family. Turn it back to you, Pastor.